Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The crosswind doesn't beat you on final, it beats you in the last 10 feet when you stop flying the airplane and start hoping. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. If you've ever drifted toward the downwind edge of the runway in the flare, felt that little chirp and skid as the tires touched cocked sideways, and told yourself you'll get it next time, this one's for you. Today we're going to take the crosswind landing apart piece by piece and put it back together so it makes sense. Not the easy version, the real one. Let's walk through this together. Before we go further, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. And honestly, the first clean crosswind landing you grease on a gusty day deserves a coin too, because that's a milestone whether the paperwork says so or not. Great way to mark the moments that matter. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's talk about why this maneuver is the one that quietly ends so many check rides. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, the rulebook your examiner is grading you against lists a normal and crosswind approach and landing as a required task. And buried in that task is a line that fails more applicants than any gust ever has. The examiner is looking for you to touch down with no appreciable drift, and with the airplane's longitudinal axis aligned with and over the runway centerline. Read that again, slowly, no drift, and the nose pointed straight down the runway. At the same time, that's the whole game. Those are two separate problems, and the crosswind is constantly trying to make you solve one by breaking the other. Here's what's actually happening. The wind is pushing on the side of your airplane the entire way down final. If you point the nose straight at the runway, the wind shoves you sideways and you drift off the centerline. So to stay on centerline, you have to point the nose a little into the wind. We call that a crab. You're flying slightly sideways relative to the ground, like a canoe ferrying across a river current. The nose is cocked, but your track over the ground is straight down the runway. And a crab works beautifully. All the way down final, it is the most comfortable, most precise way to track that centerline. The problem is the ground. Because at touchdown, your wheels have to be rolling in the direction they're pointed. If you touch down in a crab, nose cocked 10 degrees into the wind, but the airplane traveling straight down the runway, those main tires hit the pavement moving sideways. That's the side load. That's the chirp and the skid and the little jolt that makes your passenger grab the door handle. On a light airplane, it's hard on the gear and it can start a swerve you didn't ask for. In a tail dragger, it can put you in the weeds before you finish saying nice landing. So you've got a beautiful technique for final that becomes a problem at the exact moment of touchdown. That's the puzzle. And there are two ways to solve it. The first is the crab to kick. You hold the crab all the way down, and then just before the wheels touch, you stomp the downwind rudder to swing the nose straight. The airliners do a version of this. It works. But for a student in a light single, the timing is brutal. Kick too early and the wind blows you off centerline before you land. Kick too late and you touch down still crabbing, side load and all. You're trying to nail a half-second window while also flaring. That's a lot of plate spinning, so we teach the second method. The one I want to live in your hands by the end of this segment, the winglow method, the side slip. And the beautiful thing about it is that it solves both problems early and then just holds the solution all the way to the ground. Here's how it works, and here's how it feels. You're on short final. The wind is from your left, let's say. Crosswind from the left. You start with your crab, tracking centerline, nose cocked left into the wind. Now, as you get into the flare, you're going to trade that crab for a slip. Two controls working against each other, and you have to get comfortable with that idea because it feels wrong the first time. Control number one, aileron into the wind. Roll the airplane gently toward the wind. Left aileron, left wing down, just a few degrees. That lowered wing, that bank into the wind, is what stops your drift. The airplane wants to slide sideways with the wind, and a little bank into the wind exactly cancels it out. You add just enough bank to stop moving sideways across the runway, no more, no less. The wind picks up, you add a little more bank. The wind eases, you take some out. You're hunting for zero drift and you're doing it with the ailerons, live, all the way down. Control number two, opposite rudder, right rudder, in this case. The rudder does one job and one job only here. It points the nose straight down the runway. That's it. You've banked the wing to kill the drift. And now you use the rudder to swing the nose back to parallel with the center line so you don't land cocked. So now look at what you've built, left wing low to stop the drift. Right rudder to keep the nose straight. The controls are crossed, aileron one way, rudder the other, and that is exactly correct. That is the side slip. The airplane is flying a little sideways through the air, but over the ground it is tracking straight down the center line with the nose pointed straight ahead. You have already solved both problems, no drift. Nose aligned, and you solve them at 50 feet instead of in the last half second. Now you just hold it. You ride that slip right down into the flare, and you keep flying it. The upwind main wheel touches first, then the downwind main, then the nose wheel. Last, as you keep flying the airplane and keep that aileron working, in fact. And here's the part students let go of too soon. As you slow down on the rollout, the controls get less effective, so you have to keep feeding in more aileron into the wind. By the time you're at taxi speed, that yoke or stick should be deflected all the way into the wind. Full aileron. You're not done flying just because you're on the ground. Let me give you the picture from the cockpit, because the ACS language doesn't capture how this actually feels. You're gonna land on one wheel. The upwind one, and new students hate that because every bone in your body says an airplane should touch down on both mains together, symmetric, level. But on a real crosswind, level means drift, and drift means side load, so you make peace with it. Upwind wheel kisses the pavement first, the airplane rolls on a moment on that single tire, and then it settles onto the other main as you ease off. It's smooth when it's right. It's one of the most satisfying things you'll ever do in an airplane. Now, let's talk about the mistakes. Because I promised you the real version, and the real version is mostly about what goes wrong, mistake number one, and it's the big one, letting go of the aileron after touchdown. You fight this beautiful slip all the way down, you touch on the upwind wheel, and then the second the airplane is rolling, you relax and center the controls because, hey, we landed. And the wind, which has not gone anywhere, gets back under that upwind wing and starts lifting it, and now you're skittering toward the downwind side of the runway with no way to stop it. The fix is a habit. Touchdown is not the end of the crosswind. Keep flying. Aileron into the wind, increasing all the way to the chocks. Mistake number two. Solving drift with the rudder. This is the classic, and it is so tempting. You see yourself drifting toward the runway edge, and your instinct is to point the nose back at the center line with rudder. So you cross control the wrong way. You yaw the nose into the wind to aim back, but the airplane doesn't go where the nose points. It keeps drifting. Now with the nose cocked, and you've made it worse. Burn this in. Aileron stop the drift. Rudder aligns the nose. Each control has one job. Don't make the rudder do the aileron's work. Mistake number three. Not enough aileron because the bank feels scary. A few degrees of bank near the ground sets off alarm bells, especially early in training. So students chicken out and use half the aileron they need. Result? You don't fully kill the drift and you touch down sliding. Here's the reassurance. The amount of bank a normal crosswind needs is small and you're at flying speed with the wheel responsive in your hands. You're in complete control. Use what you need. If the runway is so wide you've got room, a great practice drill is to fly the whole length a foot off the pavement on one wheel, holding the slip, not letting it touch, just to prove to yourself that you can hold that bank and that heading all day long. Your CFI will love you for asking to do it. Mistake number four. Carrying too much speed crosswind days are often gusty days, and the temptation is to pad your approach speed for safety. A little is fine, your instructor will give you a gust factor, often half the gust spread added to your normal approach speed. But too much extra speed means you float, and a long float in a crosswind is just a long time for the wind to mess with you and for you to drift. Fly the number. Add the gust factor, not your fear. And here's the decision that separates safe pilots from lucky ones. The go-around. Every airplane has a demonstrated crosswind component in the handbook. That's a number a test pilot demonstrated. Not a limit and not a promise about you on a given day. You should have your own personal number, lower than the book, that you set on the ground when you're calm. And if you set up that slip and you run out of rudder, the nose simply will not come straight, no matter how hard you push. The airplane is telling you the crosswind is more than it can handle right now. That is not a failure. That is information. Add power, go around, and either try a different runway more aligned with the wind, or go somewhere else. The examiner is not looking for a hero who forces a bad landing. The examiner is looking for a pilot who recognizes the airplane's limits and makes a good decision. A well-flown go-around on the check ride is never the wrong answer. Let me put it all together with a scenario. You're coming home to your home field. Winds reported from 300 at 15 gusting 22. Your landing runway is 26, so the wind's coming from your right, 40 degrees off the nose, a real crosswind and gusty. You do the mental math. That's a meaningful crosswind component inside your personal number, but not by a lot. Good. You add a few knots for the gust factor, not 10. Down final, you crab right, nose cocked into the wind, tracking the centerline clean. Looks great. Now into the flare, you make the trade. Right aileron, right wing low, hunting for zero drift gust hits. You add a touch more bank, it eases. You take some out, you're alive on the controls. Left rudder holds the nose straight down 2-6. The right main touches first, you roll on it. The left main settles, and as you slow, you keep feeding in right aileron more and more, until the wheel's against the stop and you turn off still flying. No chirp, no skid, no drift. The nose was straight the whole time. That's the task. That's what the examiner wrote down on their kneeboard as a pass. And more importantly, that's the landing that protects your gear, your airplane, and the people who trust you to bring them home. The crosswind landing is not easy, and I'm not going to insult you by pretending it is. It takes more repetitions than almost any other maneuver, and it'll humble you on a windy Tuesday long after you've got your certificate. But it is learnable, and it is mostly about a handful of habits done in the right order. Aileron stops the drift. Rudder points the nose. Keep flying after you land. The procedures and standards on this one come straight out of the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Airman Certification Standards. And if you want to read the source yourself, both are free on the FAA's website. You can find the rest of what we do over at RadioHangar.com. Go fly some patterns on the next breezy day with an instructor beside you. That's the only way this gets into your hands. I'm Pattern. Keep the upwind wing down, and I'll see you next time.